Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 221, recorded on August 22nd, 2014. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing great, and I'm, like, so excited to be here.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You're eating chips?
No, I'm eating crackers.
Oh, crackers, yeah.
Yeah, they're good.
But not anymore. You were doing the saltine challenge earlier, I guess.
Yeah, the challenge where I put the crackers in my mouth and try to eat them and talk. It worked out great.
Is there any chance of suffocation with that?
Yes, there's a chance of suffocation with many of the things that I do.
Okay. Adam
but
Christensen.
I'm a trained professional.
Yeah, he is a trained professional. Adam Christensen is also here from the MacCast. Hey, Adam, how are you doing?
Pretty good.
Good?
Hanging in there?
Yeah, how's the house?
Coming together, slowly but surely.
Has a pool still?
The pool is awesome. We've been using that. But
gosh, I got to get down there.
I've got new carpets went in today.
Mm-hmm.
Got new windows coming, new windows and doors. So
is it
fixing
it
up.
Mostly, is it a fix-up house?
No.
You want to do some tweaking.
It's an 80s
things.
House that has some features that are still there from the 80s.
Like parachute pants.
Like the carpet and the aluminum windows.
MC Hammer is still hanging out there. So
yeah, so it's got little fixer-upper things to do. The guy who owned it before us too claims he was a licensed contractor, but his work sucks. So there's that too. He did a bunch of electrical and weird stuff that I just need to patch up and get done right.
Yeah, well,
because it was totally half-assed. Can I say that? Half-assed?
You can.
Yes, you can.
Yeah. So If he was a licensed contractor, you would have not wanted to have hired this guy.
Yeah.
Maybe he was licensed to fail.
Well, the funny thing is I've been telling a couple of people, it's like, you would think, like, on your own house, you would do your best quality work, right?
Yeah.
Maybe that was his best quality work.
That's the problem. That's what I'm saying. You got it. Exactly, Jeff. But it's all right. It's a great house. The neighborhood's awesome, and the location's awesome, and the pool's awesome. So it's all good.
Cool.
I'm not going to have an office, though, so I'm not too thrilled about that. So we got to figure that out. I did order a bunch of packing blankets that I need to throw grommets onto and figure out a way to hook up in the closet I'm going to be using as my studio so that it doesn't sound like I'm in a closet. So we'll see how that goes.
Oh my God, gonna get you a trailer, start a new podcast, 7 Minutes in Heaven.
It is a 6x6 walk-in closet, so hopefully that'll be big enough.
That's not bad.
Yeah, but if my show starts sounding echoey, now you know why.
Good to know. All right, so moving on to the things we're here to talk about.
We're not here to talk about ghetto soundproofing?
I mean, that does sound like a good topic of conversation.
Like low-budget gorilla soundproofing studios? Yeah, no. What are we here to talk about? iOS?
Yeah, and beyond, of course. So the first thing on my list is Apple is, they stopped allowing people to order Apple TVs for pickup in store.
I wonder why.
Yeah.
Because Michael bought one. So now they're going to come out with a new model.
Okay, yeah, so that's probably what's going on. But yeah, and that's actually how I ended up getting my Apple TV, because it was quicker to get it, although you can still go into the store, right? Or is that not the case? Can you still go into the store and just buy an Apple TV?
If they have inventory.
So is...
Hold on. I'm going to do a quick look and see if my local Apple store has any Apple TVs in stock. Because I can do that right from the app.
Sweet. Interesting. But you can still order it to be shipped to your house. So you'd think that, I would say that's fresher inventory than what is at the store, right? Wouldn't you assume that to be true?
You would think.
Available for pickup, visit an Apple retail store, and then available to ship within 24 hours. So, and of course, you can get your $25 iTunes gift card if you buy one.
And they're available at the Boulder Apple Store right now.
Yeah. Interesting. Huh. So there's that. I guess there's not much more to say than that.
Yeah, so so when the new Apple TV comes out in a couple of weeks, we all have Michael to thank.
Yes, buy me cookies or something.
Cookies are fun.
Actually, I'm kind of considering buying another Apple TV because I tried it in the bedroom last night. I tried moving the Apple TV in there, and that was pretty enjoyable. So maybe I'll get two or a second one.
I know a lot of people that have two.
Yeah.
I have two. I have three, actually. I have my. I just undid my. I got to figure out what I'm going to do with my original one. My Apple TV One. What am I do with that thing?
You can load Tiger onto it.
Really?
Actually, it already has Tiger on it, technically, but you could load a real version of Tiger on there if you really want to.
I figured I could maybe hack a Linux distro on there and see if I can do some server stuff with it.
Just put Tiger server on there. 10.4 server. You could probably do something else. I don't know. I think it's like a Centrino. What's the Centron? Not the Pentium. Not the Pentium processor, but the one that sucks.
The Celery one?
Celeron.
Celery.
I feel like I'm making
the Intel Celery processor.
Yeah, the Celery processor. Yeah, it has one of those. I'm pretty sure. So you can do some. Yeah, do whatever you want with that. Because there's a USB port on the back of that, right? So you can hub it
out. Yeah, there is.
Mm-hmm. You can hub it out and do whatever you want.
Maybe I'll slather some peanut butter on it and just eat it.
Sure. We'll go with that.
Just make sure it's good peanut butter, not that crappy stuff like Jif or Skippy.
Right, yeah.
We only use Laura Scudder's natural peanut butter.
Okay, cool. So let's talk about my favorite topic of the past couple weeks, which is reversible USB cables. And so last week...
I'm getting this now. I didn't understand it fully last week.
I get it now. I think maybe we all get it. We had confusing. A little bit of a debate last week thinking that this reversible USB doesn't work with old style ports, the ones that we've had for years. They do. They're the same size. They're just slightly, they're tweaked in a way that they're reversible.
Well, there's two different parts of this. That's what got confusing is like the thing that they're saying Apple is going to do with the Lightning cable is not the USB 3.1 or the USB whatever next spec thing is. That's something different. That's the connector on the little micro connector on the other end.
Is it?
Yeah, there's like two things going on here. So the one rumor is that Apple's shipping this Lightning cable with a reversible USB connector on the USB side. Which is basically just, it's got the little contact. So you know how on a standard USB cable, the little contact thing floats on one side of it, so you can only push it in one direction, right?
Right.
So this reversible cable has that little piece floating in the middle of the connector, and it's thinner. So then it has contacts on either side, so it doesn't matter which way you plug it in, but it looks just like your standard computer USB 2 or USB 3 connector. It's just if you look at the connector, you know, at the end, you're not going to see the little white part where the connectors are on one side. It's floating in the middle of the cable. And there's actually already a company that makes those cables called like Dolphin or something like that. And they actually have a patent on it. So I don't know how Apple's going to deal with that. But
well, Apple has their own patent that utilizes a flexible connector, which I'm looking at. It's in the list here. Which may help them in that. I'm not sure.
I think there's prior art.
There is prior art. Yeah. So you can actually get these cables on like Newegg and those sorts of places right now. I think they've been around for many years. Mm-hmm. They just haven't been on our radars.
It's like 2010.
Yeah. You can just get them. No, as to what's
why have they not been on our radar before now?
It's well,
you'd think everyone would have jumped all over that.
You would think, but it's not. I can't imagine it would have anything incredibly interesting on the other end, other than maybe a female USB that you could, you know, maybe if you really wanted to get the reversible thing going, then you could just plug your iPhone cable into that and then just utilize the other end that's reversible if you really want to. But it seems like almost unnecessary.
So that type of connector is called a type A connector. And I think even though they did this tricky thing with making it reversible, it's still a type A, considered a type A connector.
Yeah.
And so then the other thing that was coming out at the same time was the approval of this new type C connector, which is the thing on the other end, you know, which would go into your device end, which is also reversible. So it looks very much like a symmetrical USB micro connector. So you know how the micro connector kind of has that wedge shape? Now imagine if it was just more like oval or oblong or however you want to call that.
The one that I'm looking at looks kind of like a lightning cable, a lightning connector.
Well, except where a lightning connector, you know, you just have the thing is, it's like the prong is, or the connector is just the whole thing. This is more of a female style connector, right? Where you'd have the little prong sticking out just like you do with USB in the connector on the device, and then the cable sort of slides around it.
Right.
Right. So whereas a lightning's more of a male connector, this is more of a female connector.
Sure. Huh.
It's a vag. It's not a penis.
Right. Thank you for clarifying.
It's all clear in my mind now. That's what I needed.
I would use that as the show title, but I'm not going to.
Well, that's kind of unfortunate, Michael.
Supposedly there are kids who listen, I think.
Oh, hi, kids.
Maybe they're all gone. Maybe their parents have stopped them from listening because I got the complaints. Maybe they just don't listen anymore. Or maybe they do secretly.
So I was confused by the two. I got the two stories, I think, last week kind of messed up.
I think everybody kind of did.
Sort of two things happening at the same time.
It wasn't very clear.
So hopefully it's clearer now.
It is.
Girl parts, boy parts.
Right. Ultimately, the point being is that Apple, it seems as though these cables are out there. I think it was Sonny Dixon who has them, right?
Yes.
Has a boxed version.
Yes, supposedly.
Supposedly. And there's it's like a 5-second video of him showing the cable and going, plug, and then that's it. Just plugging it into a computer and end of video.
And then unplugging it, flipping it over, and plugging it back in.
Right, yeah. The important part where you can flip it over.
talk about your Apple porn.
Yeah.
I wonder if anybody's done, you know how they do the 10-hour loops of the thing, like the Apple touching the wall. I'd like to see a 10-hour loop of this. And that would be the Apple porn.
There you go.
So Apple seeded another beta of iOS 8. It's beta 6, but not to anybody that can really confirm this.
Yeah, I didn't get one.
It's to carriers only and carriers and testing partners, according to BGR.
Good. Yeah, that would mean it was getting closer to being in a release phase, right?
Well, sure. I suppose do you think the carriers have been getting this all along, or do you think?
Well, maybe not. No. I think there's a certain phase where they need carrier testing done, and I think it's usually later in the cycle from what I remember, but I'm just going off of memory.
Okay, so then...
So apparently this is a special beta build just for their needs.
Yeah, so they're probably testing out all the profile stuff and maybe more focused on things like the hotspot features and those sorts of things.
Sure.
Anything that would require baseband sort of stuff, I would imagine, is being tested.
But why wouldn't the masses get that? The developer masses. So there's some speculation that
maybe there's extra debugging or stuff that's in that build that wouldn't be particularly relevant to anybody but a carrier.
Possibly.
I don't know. I'm totally speculating. I'm just guessing.
Well,
since you asked.
The other speculation is that there's some fancy hidden features that we won't be privy to until the still yet announced September event.
For example,
So the theory would be that they are limiting the number of potential leak points.
Sure.
Yeah, because the carriers wouldn't leak anything.
Right.
No, they would. They would never. I don't know. Yeah, you're probably right. That doesn't make any sense.
How many leaks have we had from like from carrier partner CEOs over the years?
Yeah, like where they just come right out and say exactly what's happening.
Like, we're going to be carrying the iPhone 6 next fall or this fall.
What?
Yeah.
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 Those guys are awesome.
Yeah, speaking of which, the what was it? I think it was a carrier, right? That was talking about the new iPhone 6. They announced that it was going to have, it was going to support more bands of LTE.
Cool.
That would be very cool.
Where is that? I don't see that in here. Yeah, here we go. So it's going to have, that's not the article I'm looking for, but I can't find it. So basically it's going to simplify things for Asia. So Apple will be able to sell one version of the iPhone 6 everywhere is the gist of the article. I'll put it in the show notes, but I can't find it right now. But that is really good because, I mean, why do you want to have more versions that you have to worry about? You already have to worry about the color and the size and the actual physical size now, I'm sure. Right? Because now we've been saying for a while that we haven't seen any parts for the bigger iPhone. Now it seems that we're seeing actual parts for it, right? The rear shell.
Yeah, maybe.
I think there was a logic board.
Yeah, isn't some of this stuff still being pointed at by people saying, hey, you know, this is from one of these specific Android knockoff phones?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
As soon as the
most recent photos started coming out, I was like, you know,
okay,
I'm over this.
Let me pull up the thing that really kind of takes it home for me. So this is from, supposedly this is pulled directly from Foxconn. They have screenshots from the manufacturing floor or something like that, something similar, but basically details, manufacturing details, schematics, limited schematics from iGen.fr that show three different models. You have the N51, which is the current iPhone, the N56, which is, I believe, the larger, the 5.5 inch, and then the 47 or the 61 is the smaller four point seven inch. So the relevant details of that are that protruding camera seems to be a fact of life, and the dumb antenna bands seem to be something that we're going to see.
Yeah, I think, Adam, you're going to get to call this the Tron phone.
The Tron phone. I'm just hoping I can figure out a way to hack that L-wire in there. You know about L-wire?
Mm-mm.
I'm wondering if I can replace the antenna, the antenna material with L-wire, which is like glowing wire.
That would be cool.
That would be really cool. And then it would totally be a Tron phone.
So you'd get a black one, probably?
Yeah, and put in blue L-wire.
And every time you answer your phone, you just say, greetings, program.
No, that would be your Siri
and
trigger
I'll call
word.
It bit.
Yes. No.
Yeah.
I just kind of dated both of us, didn't I?
Ah, that movie's awesome.
I just watched War Games a couple days ago. I had seen
Another
parts
awesome
of it
movie.
Before. Yeah. Yeah, when I did watch it, I was too young to fully absorb it. Good, great movie.
It is a good movie.
Man, now you're making me want to rewatch that. I haven't seen that in years. I need to now buy that on iTunes. This happened the other day. I ended up buying Real Genius like a couple
oh, what
months,
a fun
about
movie.
A month ago because it wasn't anywhere on streaming, and I'm like, I got to watch this movie again. Love that movie.
It's an awesome movie. Val Kilmer at his best.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. What were we talking about again?
About how you're getting off our lawn.
Oh, protruding cameras.
That too.
The wart.
So it kind of seems like on the larger iPhone that it is tapered a bit. Am I crazy in that the edges are tapered and that it seems like it may be either more flush toward the antenna line? You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. Can we just make it 1 millimeter thicker
and add some more battery? That? I don't know. I hope this is one of those.
Then we could have more battery.
A fake leak? Could this be a fake leak?
How thin does it need to be, really?
I really hope this protruding camera thing is wrong.
I'd take that more than the stupid antenna breaks, but that's just me.
You prefer the protruding camera over the dumb antenna breaks?
Well, yeah, because the protruding camera is supposedly only like 1 millimeter or less than a millimeter. So I don't get it.
I think it's
again, I would have just made it flush and let the phone be however many tenths of a millimeter thicker than it needed to be. Just weird. I don't get it. Unless it's a whole retro design thing, I don't know.
Retro doesn't seem like Apple's shtick.
I know.
No, their shtick is to put something out there that everybody's almost totally happy with and that we're all upset about, but then they convince us is cool.
Well, and I will ask people to refer to my comments on the iPhone 5S design in the past and then just, you know, promptly ignore me because I'm an idiot.
I think ignore everybody. That's just how it goes.
Because I think the mock-ups never do it justice, and then you see the real thing, and you're like, "Oh, okay, now I get it. This is fine."
Well, you know, one thing that might make you a little happier is that it seems as though we'll see a 128 gigabyte iPhone 6.
Yeah. Did anybody doubt that? I really hope they kill off the 16 and start at 32, but I don't think they're going
to
do that.
I hope they do that. I think that, you know, it would make sense to do a 16 at the 5S and then start the 6 at 32.
Now, I saw a rumor, it might have been this morning, where I was like, really? And the rumor was that with the 128 gig model, Apple will drop the 32. So you have 16, 64, and 128.
Yeah, perfect.
But no 32.
Why not drop that again? 16, 64? No, 32.
16, 64, and 128, as opposed to 32, 64, 128.
No. If anything, I could see them going 16, 32, 64 on the 4.7 and then doing the 32, 64, 128 on the more expensive 5.5.
Sure.
Like that.
Well,
but, yeah, it doesn't make any sense to skip 32.
It's absent from this list that's pointing toward the 128 gigabyte. So it's a supplier. I think it's an order list, right? A supply list.
Okay, so the RAM for 32 is coming from somewhere else.
Yeah, that's what I would assume.
Is it still a $100 price difference between the three models?
You would think so. That's how they do it.
Then all that's going to happen is Apple's going to get called out for gouging for cheaping out, rather. I shouldn't say gouging. For cheaping out on RAM.
Yeah.
Like, really, from a component standpoint, what's the difference in price at cost to Apple to do 32 versus 16? It's got to be nothing.
I would assume you're right. But historically, Apple has always been called out for being cheapo on the RAM.
Mm-hmm. This just makes it worse. And no one should have to suffer a 16 gigabyte device in this day and age. I'm just saying.
Agreed.
I'm totally with you.
Yeah.
I can actually get away with less memory, though, on my phones than I can. I would prefer they up the RAM and the iPads and kept the phones the same if they're trying to, like, mess around. But I think everything should just be, I think it should be standardized at 32 to 128, this year. I think it's time for that to happen.
Yeah, it's time to drop 16.
Yeah, it's just too small for anybody to be really practical.
Can't you get, I think you can get a 128 gig iPad.
Yeah, you can. You can.
Sure, you just can't get a 128 gig iPhone.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
Apple doesn't do any 8 gigabyte things, right?
I believe the Nano is 8 gigabytes.
Isn't there like a base one, iPod Touch?
Maybe an iPod Touch. That's right. Yeah, but even there, it's too small. It just came up because you know a lot of people this week were going gaga over the Sharp Aquos phone. Aquos. Is it Aquos or Aquos?
I think it's Aquos.
Aqueous is the word you're looking for, and that is dissolved in water.
No, yeah, but I don't think they're using that, right? I think it's Aquos.
No idea. It's Aquos. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure it's Aquos.
For the naming, it's Aquos.
And which is cool because it's like an almost bezel-less, you know, 5-inch phone, which it looks gorgeous, but and it had an incredible price. It was like $240 unlocked. But it comes with 8 gigs of RAM. Now, luckily, it has an SD card slot, so you can upgrade it. But
it's like, why would you ship a phone with SD cards? Are slow.
Yeah, but I mean, at least for storage and documents and things like that. As long as the operating system, the Android operating system, will run fine in the 8 side of things, then I would imagine most of what people are doing. So I guess that's right. So with Android, if you're not installing on the main stuff and you're on the SD and you're putting apps can be slow, right? Is that true?
That's my understanding.
Yeah. So that would suck. Yeah, I guess. But yeah, no, I mean, no one should be selling an 8 gigabyte smartphone. That's crazy.
Sure.
Too small.
Okay. So did you guys see this story about Apple? They're in talks with insurance companies regarding a health kit partnership.
Yes.
Doesn't that sound like the best thing ever?
If it'll lower my premiums, I'm no. kind of totally fine with it at this point.
No, I'm not at all. I think that's the worst thing ever.
Do you really think insurance companies are going to have anything on you that they don't already have? It's not like they can drop you from your coverage program if they don't like the number of steps you're taking every day.
But they could increase your premium.
If you don't stay healthy.
If you don't stay healthy, and but they could do that anyhow.
Determined by whatever, but they're getting more points of data and they have more excuses that way. That just seems like a bad idea. I doubt that Apple will force you into it.
Yeah, I don't really like it either, but at the same time, it's just like...
I think Apple is totally talking with the insurance carriers.
I guess it's something that they are allowed to like do now with the Affordable Care Act.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading that they can offer discounts now if you are healthier or if you... But they need a way to track it to be able to offer that discount. So if this is how they have to do it, then I guess this is how they have to do it.
Right. It's like putting a thing in your car for car insurance.
Right.
Yeah. And they are already doing... Insurance companies are already doing this. They're just not doing it with HealthKit.
As long as it's opt-in, it doesn't really impact you, right?
Right, yeah, but so
you don't have to get, you know, it's like the good driver discount or the auto insurance discount. If you don't want to qualify for that discount, you don't have to.
Right, but I would say that I guess the reason I am bringing it up more so than warning people about it, because it is opt-in, it's more of a thing where I would recommend not opting in unless you really, really, really don't care about your privacy and the potential changes that the insurance companies could make based on the information.
I don't think the privacy would be as big an issue as many people are concerned about, because the data itself will be stored just as any other information that your healthcare or your insurance company has on you. The real threat is coming from the outside, and it's hackers that want to steal that information and then sell it off to other companies.
Sure. And I guess there's also... I wonder how that, and you say that it's handled as medical record.
It's handled in the same way that insurance companies handle your other records.
Right, and they could very potentially just sell that information if they wanted to.
I don't think they can, actually.
No, I don't think they can under HIPAA stuff.
You think that HIPAA applies?
Pretty sure.
I'm pretty sure. I don't think they can sell your information.
I would be concerned. I would check the privacy policy before you send it.
No, but they could probably use the data in aggregate anonymously and sell like reports, like general state of the nation health reports and stuff like that based on actual data.
Yeah. Sure.
But yeah.
But it's not like the data that they have is so critical that, no, what am I trying to say? If China gets a hold of the number of steps I have taken each day, I don't think that's going to be a big deal.
Probably not.
But I don't want it to sound like I'm just being flippant about privacy, because privacy is a serious issue. I just think in this case that the privacy concerns probably aren't as warranted as many people think. The big problem is that insurance companies have treated us so poorly over the years that they have created an environment where our first reaction is to assume that they will find some way to exploit us and screw us by collecting this information.
And they will.
Yeah.
So, which is, I think, what Michael, where your point is going is don't opt in for this stuff.
Yep. That's what I would say. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, this is interesting. I would be more likely to opt in on the health side. But if State Farm came to me and said, we want to put this tracking box in your car to get better insurance rates, I would tell them exactly where they could put that little box. And I will draw them a picture to make sure there is no mistake.
And the fear is, though, that they're going to sell it as, hey, look, you know, wear an iWatch and let us collect this data and you'll get better insurance rates, except when they find out that you're taking really poor care of your health, or they see, you know, something trending to where it's going to be a big bill for them, and then they start either raising your rates or tweaking things the other way. So you're not getting the discount. You're actually getting penalized at that point.
Yeah.
And that's something they would very likely do with given the data,
yeah,
or could do at least.
And that would be really sucky.
Yep.
It'd be interesting to know what sort of policy they would come up with for people who are, fair weather exercisers. You know, people who get on a kick for a little while and then they decide to be lazy for a while. So if you decide, you know,
they would fluctuate your rate. They'd go up. You're not working out, so you don't get the discount.
But except in the case where if you opt out of it while you're not exercising,
it could fully lead to health insurance plans that are variably priced.
It'd be interesting to know. I would be less interested in a situation where you could potentially be penalized for not doing healthy behavior, in contrast to getting a discount for healthy behavior. But I don't think that they would only go with one side of that coin.
But you see how they could easily say, look, if you hit these, you know, there's these health markers, steps or where heart rate, you know, averages or whatever the criteria ends up being, right? And they can say, look, here's your rate if you don't hit these. Here's the discounted rate if you do hit these.
Sure.
And they could totally fluctuate your premium based on, you know, whatever indicators they think are appropriate.
It's interesting stuff.
Which is just wacky and weird, but, you know, is that an incentive or is it penalizing? And I think a lot of people are going to see it as penalizing, not rewarding.
I'm sure you're right.
It's something to be aware of and think about.
Look at it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Thankfully,
you're talking to someone who thinks the whole insurance thing has played out its thing, and it's time to do it like we do a lot of our other stuff. And you know, you pay what you pay. You don't have all this freaking whacked out stuff, but
yeah.
I don't want to get all political. So.
Yeah. Thankfully though, the fact of the matter is there are people who don't have smart devices that can track their health. And so there's always a way to say, I don't want to do it.
Well, but the flip side of that too becomes, they may turn to the insurance companies. I'm sure there will be people that come out and say, well, you can't do these programs because not everybody has access to be able to get the discount.
Right.
Because they can't afford an iWatch or a Samsung Gear or whatever. And so your policy is exclusionary because you're locking out a whole potential part of the market of, you know, people who can't afford these devices.
Yeah. exclusionary to potentially poorer individuals. So giving discounts to people who have more money.
Right.
This is fun.
Yeah, it's going to be bad. It's
well, what if insurance companies were able to get like bulk discounts on Fitbits or iWatches or whatever, and then their customers that are willing to sign up for the programs get these.
Right,
and
you'll start seeing insurance companies like cell phone companies subsidizing iWatches.
Yeah, that would essentially be it. And but if you maintain a certain fitness level, you only pay so much for it over time. If you're not maintaining the level, now you have to pay the whole amount. Oh man, it'd be so screwed up and what a mess. Which tells me it's probably exactly what they'll do.
Yeah, cool. Okay, so moving on. iPad Air, according to some leaks, it seems as though, from tech news, I know, right? It doesn't even matter who I'm sourcing at this point because we're just hearing them from everywhere. This is via iPhone in Canada. They say that the second generation iPad Air may get a memory boost to 2 gigabytes. And that would be great because I think it was the iPad 3 that got the boost to one gigabyte, but it's about time that they up that, I think.
Well, and wasn't there a rumor this past week too that it wasn't going to get go to 2 gigabytes, or is that the phone? That's the iPhone. The iPhone might stay up.
I think there was a confusion about what a piece of information was referring to, and right. Initially it was thought that it was about the actual system RAM, and then it turns out it had something to do with storage.
Storage module, yeah.
Yeah.
Apple needs to go to 2 gigs RAM across the board. Again, this is another one of those things where it's just way overdue.
Phone
There's no reason,
iPad.
Again, not to do it. It just makes them look like they're cheaping out on RAM. And especially like with them wanting to move into sort of higher-end gaming with things like Metal and stuff like that. The games can really take advantage of the extra RAM.
Well, they utilize the VRAM though.
I was just listening to a debug episode with the women who did the Rev 60, which I haven't. Rev 60, is that right? Revolution 60 game?
Oh, right. Yes.
And they were talking about when iOS 8 comes out, you know, what devices are being supported, because they wanted to know. They actually had to adjust the poly counts on some of their characters and had to sacrifice some things because they were bumping up against the 512 RAM limit that was in the 4S. I think they were going all the way back to the 4S. And I think iOS 8 gets rid of, or was it the 4? Maybe it was the 4.
4 is pretty slow though, but...
Yeah, but... You know, you got to support all the way back to that. So they had, you know, their least common denominator was like 512 RAM.
Sure.
And I don't remember which device that was, but they were hoping to get away from that. And it sounds like still with iOS 8, the bottom line phone is still going to be a 512 RAM phone. So, you know, to add most compatibility for most devices. But so there's something to do with RAM that game developers take advantage of, and they seem to say that it was specifically related to what they could do with poly counts on characters. So I don't know. I know nothing about game development, so I don't know if it's all just in the VRAM or if there's other things. Just think about storage too, just for assets maybe and things like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
If nothing else, the perception that Apple is skimping on memory is a big deal.
I mean, why wouldn't you do two? I mean, Apple's competitors are already all, you know, most of them on the high end are at 2 and going to 3.
Right.
And if Apple sticks at 1, they're going to look like they're hanging out way in the past.
But in many ways, it's not as relevant for Apple as it is for Amazon,
Android.
Android, because... Android is a little bit more loose on the resources.
Right. But I mean, why would you not go to 2? The only reason I can think of would be cost. If you're going to say cost, and the cost is negligible. Like, what's the point of sticking at 1? Why stick at 1?
Yeah, it's already an expensive device, no matter how you look at it. Now, okay, so here...
just save $10 on RAM per device or whatever. It's probably less than that. It's probably a couple bucks. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe what they're referring to... Oh, so the iPad Mini, for example, which they still sell, and they still say that it's on their compatibility list for iOS 8, the original Mini. Yeah. Which I think is kind of crazy, because it's the same exact hardware as the iPad 2. 512 megs of RAM.
That's it, yep.
1 gigahertz processor A5.
And the iPad 2 is not a supported device.
Is it not?
For iOS 8.
It's not even supported for iOS 7, is it?
No, it runs iOS 7.
Does it?
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
I'm looking through my Mac tracker.
The first
right
gen
now.
iPad doesn't do iOS 7.
Yeah, if you're on that, you should just stop. You should upgrade. Yeah, I can't.
Unless it works for you and does what you need it to do. And
yeah, then I guess that's true. We shouldn't be making general accusations.
Jeez, Michael.
I know, terrible. Oh yeah, so it supports the latest version of iOS 7. So iPad 2 does work on 7, does not. It will not be compatible with iOS 8 though. So that seems to me. So I think it's a little bit. I think it's kind of wrong that Apple is doing that. That they're allowing the iPad Mini to be supported on iOS 8. I understand why, because they're still selling it. But they're still
does
selling
it have a
it.
Better GPU though?
There must be something.
Is that a quad core GPU still versus the dual core that's probably in the two?
It is the, I'm looking here, SGX 543 MP2. It's the same thing. It's identical specs. The Mini and the two.
Well, then that makes no sense.
It doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't.
My mother, the reason I bring it up is because my mother purchased an iPad Mini, the original iPad Mini, and she asked the person on the phone, what's the difference between the Mini and the Retina? And they just said, oh, it's just the pixels. It's just higher definition. And I told her that's not even close to the whole story. You're going to be hurting on that thing, especially when you go up to iOS 8. So I think I'm just a little irritated by that.
I think from a lot of the early reviews, iOS 8 is running actually better on those older devices than
is
iOS
it?
7.
Okay.
Just FYI.
Well, I just know that the experience of going to 7 with the older devices was pretty painful, especially on iPhone 4s. But
yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
Moving forward. Two different reports this week saying that we will not see the iWatch until 2015. From Ming-Chi Kuo of KGI Securities, he says that. And who else? There is one other report that I'm bringing up here from the Economic Daily News. They also say 2015, which is different from what we've been thinking, especially earlier this year after we saw Android Wear.
Yeah,
you gotta wonder if there's going to be any sort of announcement before 2015, or is it just going to be 2015 straight up?
I think Apple wanted to get it out this year, but I do think that if it's not ready, there's still nothing pressuring them really to get it out there. Especially,
oh, there totally is.
No, especially because they have the iPhone 6, which is going to already be a huge splash at the end of the year here. Anyway, why do you think they need to rush it out and can't wait?
They need to do something this year because they very publicly stated that they have big product announcements this year and they are moving into a new market for them. So if they don't release something in a new market space, then the analysts and the media are just going to be all over them like piranhas.
Sure. I'm with you there, but I mean, what is worse if the iWatch what they have is the battery is sucking or if it's just not coming together,
then that's a problem. And then they have to decide which is
better to eat crow this year and take their lumps from the media and analysts, or do you throw something out there and have it just get trashed?
Yeah, they don't need another Newton.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. So on one hand, they are in a position where they have to release something because they have already publicly said, look, that you know we're coming into a new market space and it's going to be a big thing. But on the other hand, they can't release a product that's not where they're not totally nailing it across the board.
If they don't nail it, I think there's longer term ramifications to that versus having to eat crow and get egg on their face this year. Because when they bring that product out, it all goes away. And if they bring it out and it's freaking the awesome thing that everybody's been waiting for. If they throw it out there and it's just crappy, then they're going to get dismissed.
Then it's Tim Cook's failure. And
it's a much worse.
They can't do anything without Steve Jobs. Yeah.
Yes, it's a much worse long-term impact to the company than just saying, look, you know, we said we were going to have this, but it just didn't materialize. We really thought we were going to get it this year. I mean, they can make a mea culpa and just say, look, we know we promised this. It didn't come together. And, you know, we don't want to put something out that isn't right. And I think they can save face on something like that.
They can, but they'll still just get shredded apart. And it'll be Tim Cook can't lead.
Both scenarios are not good. Although I see the... Again, and we're all totally speculating. I think they're going to have it ready this year, and it's going to be awesome. I'm hoping these guys are wrong, but again, Ming Chai Kuo has been right in the past, so he's not a source that I would readily dismiss.
But I don't think he has.
It's not always right either.
The full story. I think in this case, it's very possible that Apple is producing these in-house, meaning they're using their own facilities. So a lot of the normal channels that analysts would watch to see what's happening, there's no activity because Apple has such tight control over everything. Without that activity, the assumption is Apple isn't going to get the iWatch out this year.
Yeah. I'm hoping you're really right, and I really like that theory, and I think it makes a lot of sense. So...
So okay. I guess now we wait and see.
Yeah, as usual.
We don't have long to wait. It's only a couple of weeks, right?
Well, that's assuming they do iWatch and iPhone at the same media event. And that's assuming Apple actually does the media event on September 8th. I think they will, but you know they haven't confirmed it yet.
Nope. They probably won't until September.
Yeah, and I don't know if Apple would want to lump iPhone and iWatch in the same event, since iWatch takes them into a totally new product category.
Well, they're going to have two events pretty close together, though, too.
They do what they want.
I think so.
Yeah, but I don't think they can do iWatch in October and then try and jam it into the holiday season. I don't know. It's cutting it close.
They could do that. Could.
Well, If they announce iWatch, say, early October, and say, and you can buy it today, I think that they'd be okay.
They could get away. Yeah, right.
Or even at the end of the week, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Like announce on a Tuesday or Wednesday and say it'll be on sale and Friday.
Get it on Friday.
Yep. Okay. So the last thing I have on the list, which was kind of interesting, and I almost dismissed it, but there's some research via Wired that shows that iMessages actually account for 30% of mobile spam messages.
So iMessage is easily scriptable?
It is.
No, hold on.
No?
How many of you have received an iMessage spam?
Not I, but there are not definitely me. People.
I have never heard of anyway, not my wife.
Yeah, I don't know anyone
I've ever known has said I've got an iMessage spam.
Now, I do get text. Yeah, I get SMS spam on a regular basis.
Right.
But I have not received an iMessage spam.
Right, but there is iMessage spam out there. And there are a lot of people who say, oh, I've never heard of it. There aren't people who get it. But there, again, there are other people who just don't happen to be within our circles who do get a lot
of
spam.
All right, I want one. Someone's got to be in our circle. We've got a wide circle. Yeah. I want to hear somebody.
Okay, so if you've ever gotten iMessage, specifically iMessage spam.
We need to see the screenshot, too.
Yeah, send a screenshot.
No, we don't need to. I'll take your word for it. Just, you know, phone in.
If you have a screenshot, you can, but...
Let us know your experience. Because I have... This was the first that I had ever heard of it, and it's like...
It was
30% is a big number. If they came out and said 5% or something, or there are iMessage spam, then I'd be more apt to believe it, but 30%?
Not 30% of users, though. It's 30% of mobile spam messages.
Yeah, 30% of mobile... That's a big number.
Yeah, but if you think about the other side, 70% of people... are getting SMS spam.
Well, and is we don't that what get, we're counting as mobile spam?
Probably.
What is defined as mobile spam? Is it only?
I have not looked.
Is it Twitter?
I have
Twitter
not looked
count?
At the stuff.
Because I get a crud load on Twitter.
I don't think that would probably be counted as mobile spam. But it does happen. And the reason they're saying this happens is because not only does it just come from phones, not only, I mean, with SMSs, you have to pay for SMS service or script it through something that has a cellular connection. With iMessages, you can just script something up with Apple scripts and just blast it out, right? From a computer that's registered.
Because it's email?
No, it's not email. It's iMessage.
Well, no. Because it uses your...
Oh, yeah.
You use your email address
right.
as the destination instead of phone number.
Yes. So.
You have such a dainty cough.
I know.
You do.
It's an interesting problem. So, I guess with that, it's picks time. Jeff, do you want to go first?
Sure. All right. So, my pick is an app that that can it's like an answer app. It's called Oolo, OOLOO, and what you do is you ask it a question just as you would ask Siri a question, but then the question, instead of going through some regular computer voice parsing system where it then tries to figure out from that what it is that you're looking for and then return a result, it goes to a group of actual humans that hear the request, research it, and then send you an answer back. So you can get an answer back in minutes, or if they have to do a lot of research, it might be a day or so. But it's actually people doing the research.
So this is some kind of Mechanical Turk thing.
It's like a Mechanical Turk, a biological Mechanical Turk. Yes.
It's always been biological.
I know, but it just sounds fun to say that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's a little owl.
Yeah, with a little owl face on it. And while this isn't something that I would use for all of my online queries, it's kind of fun to pose it a question every now and then compare the information that I get from Oolo to information that Siri gives back to me or that I'm getting from a Google search.
Interesting. What sort of questions do you think are particularly good for something like this? Because if you ask an opinion sort of questions, you know, what's the best Thai restaurant around me or something like that, it seems as though these people are probably just sitting there drinking a bunch of Mountain Dew and just Googling and Yelping the thing that they can quickly pull up, and they'll just send you a response that's just barely even considered.
You know, I haven't tried questions like that. The questions I've tried have been more questions where you need actual factual data.
Mm. So you could ask for an NBA sized ticket or a seat on an airplane kind of thing.
Sure. Or you could ask what's the average rainfall for a specific region, and then throw in some weird twist that that makes it something that a computer probably wouldn't be able to cipher out.
Sure.
And you know, and like, and what's the average age demographic in the same regions?
Okay, fair enough.
Ooh. So it's kind of gimmicky in a sense, but it's also kind of cool.
You're the only one on Appler who has it, so you're a trendsetter.
I am a trendsetter, yes.
Cool. So, Adam, what is your pick this week?
Okay. So, I think we mentioned I'm moving to a new house, and we have a pool. And something that I was given at Macworld from the Optrix people is going to be my pick.
Is it like a little floaty lounge chair for your iPhone?
No, this is even better. This is a ruggedized camera case and lens system for your iPhone. And they have different versions, but this one is for the 5 and 5S that I have. It's the Photo Pro X. And basically, you drop your iPhone in there. There's a set of lenses, a macro, a fisheye, a 2X telephoto, and just a standard lens. And it totally protects your case. So if you're going out to the beach, you're going to be in the sand, in the dirt, you're going camping. A lot of guys will use this. There's different mounting system accessories that they have. So if you wanted to throw it on your bike handlebars or things like that, you can get different mounting mechanisms for the case to go into. So if you want to, record your trail ride on your mountain bike. But most importantly is it is waterproof. So there's a little O-ring system that goes around the lens and you put it in there. And then one advice I will give you, because I did test one and I had an issue, but they promptly replaced it. It was, for some reason, it was missing its lower seal. Before you use it, just with the case, put it underwater and make sure everything's sealed up. And you probably want to check it too, just to make sure that when you put the lens on that you got the O-ring sealed up right? Especially if you're going to take it underwater. But it is awesome. I took it underwater. You can use all of the controls. And so we did camera and video underwater in the pool, and it was so much fun.
Cool.
That's really cool.
So I have a bunch of, I need to put them up on YouTube, but I have some slow motion videos of, jumping into the pool, holding the iPhone. So some sort of selfie kind of stuff that was fun. And it's just a blast. And so if you're going out to the beach, going snorkeling, or say it'd be great to take snorkeling, scuba diving. I'm not sure the depth. You can't go too deep with it, I don't think, because of, pressure. But certainly for tooling around in a pool, or if you were out just doing some snorkeling or something like that, it would work really, really great. And it's awesome. And I think it's $149.95 for the case and all of the lenses that come with it.
Yeah, it's rated up to 33 feet.
There you go. So you're not going to be, deep diving with it. But if you're, and so if you're out, it'd be great for like snowboarding, because again, it's totally waterproof.
Yep.
So, and it comes with a nice little case and a strap, and they give you everything that you need. So I'm very, very impressed with it. And again, just if you're doing action sports and things like that, and you don't want to invest in something like a GoPro, you can just use this case with your iPhone.
Cool. It's currently out of stock, but it will be in stock in September.
Optrix Photo Pro. Probably out of stock because it's awesome.
Yeah. All right. So I'm gonna do the trend thing and go with an anti-pick this week, because I noticed that I looked at a bunch of apps, but I didn't like them this week. So
they all got don'ts on Appler.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So the one that I'm going to talk about is a Reddit app, Feedworthy. It had a lot of promise for me anyway. And I think that we're going to get conflicting views, because Adam actually likes it. But
I like it because I'm a lurker.
Yeah, he's a lurker, doesn't do a whole lot of interacting on Reddit. So it may be good for that kind of person, someone who's a super casual Reddit person. But if you have subreddits that you subscribe to, you're not going to like it because you just don't get them.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Okay. So So the front page gives you everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then there are everything is from a category, right? So there's, There's news, there's tech, there's, I don't know.
Is the Apple one not a subreddit?
There's Apple. Yeah, there's tons of stuff. Anything that's /r is a subreddit. And there's a lot of stuff that it goes deep. I follow a House of Cards. I follow a Jurassic Park.
I have the Apple one in there. Is that not a subreddit?
Yeah, that is.
Apple's a subreddit.
Yeah, but your mic is really hot suddenly. You got really blasting
your mic. You know, that happened earlier with Dave. Is it better? I don't know what's going on.
I don't know. Just wanted to let you know. But yeah. It does not seem, yeah. There's just no access to the to your subreddits. You get front page announcements, Ask Reddit, blog, funny, gaming, a bunch of super popular ones today I learned. But yeah, so that's my primary gripe with this thing. It's free and it's pretty. I guess it's worth checking out. And I guess you can upvote and downvote stories, but you can't leave any comments, which makes me crazy. And you can't vote on them. So I don't use it. It looks cool. And I guess if you don't really care too much about Reddit, you're not a hardcore Reddit person, then I guess it might be good for you. But so I guess it's worth checking out. And it's free.
And it disappoints Michael.
It disappoints me. I use Alien Blue, even though that disappoints me as well. But it has all of the features. It's one of those apps that they couldn't decide on what features they wanted, so they put them all in there. And that kind of app frustrates me as well.
Am I still coming in hot?
No, you're better now.
I'm talking softer, but it's weird.
Interesting. Well, we're wrapping up, so we can get past it. So, of course, you can find the iPhone picks and the show notes at theiosshow.com. Review the show in iTunes and tell a friend. That really helps. And you can send your feedback to feedback@theiosshow.com. Of course, advertising is handled by Backbeat Media, backbeatmedia.com. Check out Harry's, harrys.com. Use the coupon code TIOSS, TIOSS, for $5 off your awesome shave kit. And Jeff Gamet is at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com, at Jay Gamet on Twitter, and the TMO Daily Observations podcast, which I presume is still popping off.
As yes, it's still popular. Yeah.
Good.
And I'm still having fun, which is what really counts.
That is what really counts.
Yeah.
Adam Christensen is at the MacCast, MacCast.com, at MacCast on Twitter, member.MacCast.com. Is there anything super cool that you want to promote about the member show
this week? Working on an episode with, or a couple episodes with George, hopefully. Soon. I know cool. We keep teasing them, but we've been trying to dig into iBeacon, and that's been a lot longer process. And just a lot of it's just because I'm moving and he's got stuff going on and things like that. But hopefully that will hit the feed in the next couple of weeks.
Cool. And you can find me on Twitter at Michael Johnston, getappler, getappler.com. And you can find me at /Michael Johnston I think it's just /Michael. Jeff is on there. Adam's on there. A bunch of people are on there. You can check out all of them there. And I think that's it. We'll see you next time on The iOS Show.
An iPod. An iPod. Internet.
How are we going to communicate this?
The stylus.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right?